Without further ado, let's get to freshly fired Steelers writer Mark Cabali. Mark, how are you today? Are you doing better?
Great introduction, Joe. Very nice.
You seemed happy about this yesterday. That's why I feel comfortable joking about it.
Joe, you know what, Joe? First of all, I'd like to say I have a bone to pick with you. I was listening to your Nickelodeon segment there.
Yeah.
And two things come to mind.
Yes.
First of all, you can't do that on television is number one. Forget about it. Number one. And number two is, how in the world of a man of your age know all of these silly Nickelodeon shows?
I was wondering that too.
I was like, what is in the world's going on here?
That obviously the same way that you do, because your kids watch them all the time.
Oh, you're pulling out things I've never heard of before. It's a new era now, Joe. It's just YouTube and, you know, Lanky Box and Mr. Beast and stuff like that. It's not Nickelodeon. Now, I'm over that stuff, but you were naming iCarly and some
iCarly is a great show.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, if your kids are sitting there watching them, then so are you. Don't you watch
Drake
cartoons?
And Josh,
great show.
I have no idea.
Those are so much better.
You remind me of Drake, or is it Josh? Who's the one with black hair?
Josh.
Yeah, you remind me of Josh. Actually,
was he the portly fellow who lost a lot of weight?
Yeah,
yes,
he was. That wasn't the reason. It's because of your bright personality. Any leads on a new job yet?
I'm not at liberty to say. Maybe there's something that
I'm telling
will be
you
released sooner.
This is the best thing that has happened to you. It may not seem but it is.
You know what? You know what, Joe? Just like the IU contract, there's nothing official yet, but it's heading in that direction. So we'll see.
I know it is. And I know that you're going to land on your feet with something better. What about the Ayuk situation? Yesterday, I asked you to bet everything you own he's going to be here or no. You said he'll, you know, phrased that way, he'll be here. You feel more or less optimistic today?
I feel about the same, to be honest with you. There's just so much gamesmanship out there that you don't even know what to believe. If you're a reporter nowadays, you'd be crazy to even put your name on anything unless the head coach or the GM calls you and says it's done, or the NFL puts out a memo or something like that. That's how fluid the situation is. It looks like Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers are, you know, just playing a game of, you know, let's see who can we get the other team more interested. I mean, this latest report of, okay, better offer to the 49ers, more money he might sign there, sounds like a shot across the bow to Omar Khan that says, hey, up your ante or he might sign here. Who knows if any of this is true? It's just been a game being played by both sides while the Steelers just sit back and say, this is our offer. Call us when you're ready to take it. And at this point, although I thought maybe yesterday was going to be that day that they were just going to wash their hands in it, the 49ers, no, we'll sit here and wait.
Mark, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, we'll see you.
I'm only kidding, for God's sakes. It was one.
Guess who called me this week?
Who?
Ronald Cook.
I was just going to ask about him.
He asked me, put it this way. This is how much he listens to your show.
He goes,
do they ever even mention me on that show anymore?
Oh, just once in a while. Just once in a while.
Just once in a while. He says he might come up at the end of the month, but he says he might not be able to afford it. So,
oh, please.
He might have to stay with you, Joe.
He's not free and free light.
Yeah, he's been saying that for decades. Listen, while we have you, you're the perfect guy for this. We're just going over our little drops, which you just heard two of them. Ron's laugh, and it's good for talk radio, my man. We're trying to decide when and where to play these and how good they are. Would you care to rank some of these? 1 to 3.
All right, where are we going? How many? And from 5 to 1, 1 to 5, where are we going?
Well, 1 to 5 is fine. 1, it sucks. 3, it's okay. 5, it's really good. You should use it a lot. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
That's a good 5 right there.
Yeah, I think that's a 5.
Anything Zeiss related is a 5.
You can see Mark, by the way, on our website feed here, 937thefan.com, in all his glory. All right, yeah, I agree. That's a 5. Next.
I don't know if I can consider that a drop more than like a half of a segment, but I'm going to have to put that at a six.
I was going to say
the last one.
Yeah. Mom, the meatloaf twice there is maybe just if you ever had to shorten that, the back to back meatloaf.
Mom, just mom, the meatloaf.
Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is, the whole thing
it's
is
so
great.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Next.
Got you, Joey.
Tony.
I got
you. That was Jackass Tony saying, I got you, Joey.
And that was, nobody knows who Tony is, so I put that at a one.
Wow, that's insulting to Jackass Tony more than anybody. Okay, next.
I have no idea what that even means.
That's Joe Block after Will Craig.
I went to Cal U, so.
He tried to execute a rundown between home and first, if you'll recall. Doesn't seem like you like that one.
Nah, I'm putting that down at the one.
All right.
I think Zeiss is a five.
Next. That was Derek Shelton during another one of our tense and uncomfortable Derek Shelton shows.
I like that one. I like that. I'll probably put that as a three.
Okay.
A good solid three.
Oh, I love that one.
Overused.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Overused.
What are you giving it?
Not original.
Maybe a two?
One, two, yeah, one and a half.
That hurts. Next. That one's become a favorite of mine. You?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once again, anything Zeiss is going to be minimum five. So, you know, I'll put this one at the five and a half. I still like the meatloaf at six. And the one before that at five. So that's a five and a half. Good solid five and a half.
Dan Zangrilli saying he loves you.
That's a little freaky, so I wouldn't use that. Unless you want to, unless in the middle of one of your Sheltie rants, when Sheltie's on the phone and he's ignoring you, maybe you could just pop that in there.
That might be good. Next. We already got that. That's a great one. That's you.
That's me. I give that. I'm not going to pat myself on the back a little bit there. So we'll go three.
How about the day? How about the day that sports marketing professor Ronald Dick called the show?
Still one of my favorites.
He couldn't say
Ron fast
enough. I just
don't know where you'd use that at. Where would you use that in?
We use it in the most random times
possible.
Yeah,
you don't need like a segue into these. Just the fact that they exist is funny. And lastly, let's leave Dr. Cabali. We'll do all the Steelers crap later. We talk about it every day. I just talked to you yesterday. We don't need to get into all that. Did he ever hear Pony call Bob's show as George from Washington? Have you heard this one yet? Mark?
Let's see.
This was Pony, and this was in the wake of me calling Bob as Fanny from Butler, and Alvin from Aliquippa, and all.
When's Pump going to finally realize that you guys are doing this to him?
Well, he realized this, but he realized it too late. And Pony was spectacular in this. And the fact that the call got through is a miracle. Here it was.
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pi Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Pony.
I know.
How are
you
falling for this again?
That's a 10 out of 5, I mean, isn't it?
It's pretty good. The only problem with that is the more you listen to it, you can pick up Pony's voice, but if you weren't aware of it, you're not going to know it's him. The best part was, I mean, put my teeth in, and Bob's like, okay.
I know.
okay, let me put my teeth in. Although the thing is that's not out of the realm of possibility, because I've heard people call your station.
Let me put my
wooden
teeth in
like that,
so you can understand me better.
God. You know what? I've taken to listening that City Limits sent me the little clip, so I have it on my phone. When I'm feeling down and bad, I just listen to that, and I can't help but just burst out laughing every time. How
did
does
you,
that get...
Make that your ringtone.
I should do that. All right, big boy. Let us know on your career update and text us if anything happens with Ayuk, okay?
All right. Yeet, baby, yeet.
See you, buddy.
Yeet.
That's Mark Cabali. Did we call West Durham? Is he on the line?
No, I thought you wanted to go to a break. We'll call him right now.
Yeah, let's call him and do this back to back. I think that's the best way to do that. West Durham and others in town here for a little bit of pit coverage. ACC Network, ESPN. This is ACC Network's annual football road trip. Stopping through Pitt with West Durham, EJ Manuel, Roddy Jones. They've been in town. I think they were watching Pitt practice today. West Durham has called a lot of games over the years, and I have plenty of questions lined up for him. His dad was an announcer for North Carolina, I believe, football and basketball, voice of the Tar Heels. Woody Durham. So we have West Durham on the line.
He's got him.
He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. Wes, we appreciate you taking the time. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Joe. Nice to be with you. Hope you're well. It's fun to be in Pittsburgh. Nice cool day you ordered up for us here.
Oh, man. The weather has taken a turn for the better this week where the heat's gone, and it's starting to feel like football weather. Tell us a little bit about the road trip you guys are on and about what you gleaned from your trip to Pitt.
Well, it's a collaborative effort. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing all 17 schools. But, yeah, this is my second one, and Roddy Jones and EJ Manuel with me on this particular trip, and it's been good. I enjoyed watching the practice session yesterday. I'd seen some Cade Bell offenses and obviously knew a lot about him and had kind of followed his career, from afar. But to watch them go through that practice session yesterday and to kind of see how they think offensively and how they, kind of coach it up. And then the other piece of that, anytime, Joe, something like this happens where it's a full-blown reconstruction on one side of the ball, there is a little give and take on the defensive side too, right? So to see Randy Bates and the defensive side kind of, keep their wits about them and also how they're going to look, it's been a revealing couple days. And I think Pitt is a team that there's a short list of schools in the ACC that I think if you look at the schedule, it's a workable schedule, but I think a good start is imperative. Last year they didn't get one, and it proved to foretell a little bit of a tough season. And I think this year those first four games before the bye week can, could potentially lift them to, kind of a front division finish in the 17-team ACC.
Is there a clear-cut favorite in the ACC, Wes?
Look, Florida State's easy to pick because they were undefeated last year, right? But I still believe that Florida State and Clemson are the biggest brands. But I do believe, Joe, there are three, maybe even four teams behind those two that could factor into this. I mean, I'm not going to dismiss what Louisville did last year with Jeff Brom, right? I'm just not. I think he's that good a coach. I think he has obviously, been able to find success in the portal, 30-plus guys to his roster each of the last 2 years in the portal, including quarterbacks, Jack Plummer last year. And Tyler Shuck's got to stay healthy, the kid from Texas Tech. He's got to stay healthy if Louisville is going to be as successful as they were a year ago. And I probably think, Joe, in all honesty, they're probably better on defense. The team for me is going to be NC State. Mm. Dave Doran has been there long enough. He's, found a quarterback and McCall, who's had some success. The running back in Waters. They did lose some familiar names on defense, a lot like Pitt. But they have guys, again, like the Panthers, who have played some football there. So it's not like this complete turnover, right? I think the Wolfpack have Concepcion, who's a playmaker from the slot. They've got some wide receiver talent. They've got some pretty good players at tight end. So I think NC State's in the mix. This also seems to be the month every year where we have this on-again, off-again romance with Miami. I'm one of those. I've probably been the jilted lover too many times, so I'm not buying just yet. If they hang a number in week one, Joe, I'll just go ahead and play your form. If they hang a number on Florida and Gainesville in week one, I'll be all in because I think that's what it's going to take. If Miami is tired of hearing about not taking a knee against Georgia Tech and losing the game, the easiest way they can eliminate that for the rest of the year so we don't see the fumble, right, is to go put 40 on Florida and win going away in Gainesville in week one.
Yes. And when can we catch – is this going to be one show or a series of shows that you guys are going to do on the ACC network, the road trip show?
No, the road trip – yeah, the road trip started, July 28th, I think, was the first one at Florida State. And we've been doing them every weeknight. And tonight is Pitt. Last night was – I'm going to draw a blank here. Last night was Virginia Tech. Tonight is Pitt. Tomorrow night is Virginia. And then Friday night will be Boston College. And that will, I think, just about wrap it up. Maybe one on Monday.
Awesome.
But, yeah, no, it's been really good. And the schools are great. And, of course, you know, people here at Pittsburgh are always incredible with their hospitality and things like that. So it makes it a lot of fun.
Well, we'll be watching tonight. But now that we have you on the line, Wes, you've had a fascinating career here. So I have some questions for you, if you don't mind.
Okay. Sure.
One, you're the radio play-by-play announcer for the Falcons, and we have right. Arthur Smith now in town. I don't know if you saw Arthur over at the facility today, but how would you summarize his time in Atlanta, and what do the Steelers have here in your opinion?
Well, I think he came from Nashville to Atlanta as being the offensive coordinator of the Titans, right? And he'd certainly grown his career to a point where I thought he was most deserving of a head coaching opportunity. The thing in Atlanta that probably stunted what would have been a successful tenure there was the quarterback situation. Matt Ryan was there in year one. Atlanta won 7 games, but they were completely beat up on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that and then in the offseason, they made the move. They, you know, chased Deshaun Watson, who ended up in Cleveland, and Atlanta ended up with Marcus Mariota and then drafted Desmond Ridder, right? And at the same time, Atlanta invested in offensive draft picks. It was Kyle Pitts, and then it was Drake London, and it was Bijan Robinson last year. I look at where Atlanta was, and they went through a defensive coordinator change last year, too, where Ryan Nielsen came in. To me, Arthur, in many ways, the inconsistent play at quarterback, and Joe, in all honesty, for 14 years, Matt Ryan was a quarterback, and 11 of those 14, his aggregate play was probably top 10 in the league, right? And when Matt Ryan left, Atlanta went to bottom 5 quarterback play. And you know, in a city like this, and the way it's been both for Roethlisberger here, quarterbacks become a premium in this league. Like, I don't think you and I have ever seen, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
And you got to get that position right. And Atlanta, unfortunately, didn't get it right. And at the end of the day, it probably cost Arthur, because while Atlanta was very good running the football, and that's probably why I thought he was a good fit here, is that Atlanta wasn't able to score enough points. And so red zone inadequacies last year were the biggest problem Atlanta had. Turnovers in the red zone were the biggest problem. And, you know, Ridder and Mariota just weren't very good, and Ridder wasn't very good last year, and Heinicke came in, and he wasn't much better. So the quarterback position in many ways salted that away. From afar now, to be honest with you, as much as respect as I have for Coach Tomlin, I'm interested to see how this plays out in Pittsburgh. Being here to do a lot of Pitt games for television, my friendship with Bill Hillgrove over the years, have great respect for the Rooneys and the organization, but – you know, Mike Tomlin's done such a marvelous job here, but how's this going to shake on the offensive side? I'm as fascinated as anyone. I like Arthur as a person, his family, wonderful people. He is a really, really smart football guy. And I'm going to be interested to see. I've got a lot of friends who are Steelers fans in the South, so I'm going to be as interested as anybody to see how it plays out week one in Atlanta. Not just in him coming back, but what does Pitt Pittsburgh look like, and how does Atlanta react defensively when, you know, some of those formations and packages might look very similar to what they saw for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's going to be in a lot of ways college and pro here, the tale of two new offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
Wes Durham is on the line from ESPN, from ACC Network. And I don't know if Colin told you, but I had one more question. Your dad, legendary voice of the North Carolina Tar Heels. So you've been around sports, been around basketball, legendary moments, I would imagine, for your whole life. I have the top five basketball shots of all time here, Wes. Everybody's been talking about this since the Steph Curry shot the other day. My top five: Lorenzo Charles,
ooh,
Christian Laettner, Magic's baby hook in Boston to beat the Celtics. Jordan beats the Cavs, not the one against the Jazz, the one up against the Cavs.
The one over Elo at Richmond?
Yes, I was in the building. And Steph's gold medal game. What are your top five?
Well, because of the way I grew up, I have to say Jordan from out on the left against Georgetown in 82.
Yes.
I agree with you on Lorenzo Charles and Christian Laettner. I think that Lorenzo Charles, Derek Wittenberg swears it was a pass. That's a joke. and I love Witt. Laettner's shot essentially won the national championship for Duke. Just think about how light that the pivot of college basketball changed on the one shot, right?
Yes.
And now 30 odd years later, we still look at that shot in a way that we don't look at any others, both Lorenzo Charles and Christian Laettner, for that matter. I was doing the Turner team cast for Chris Jenkins of Villanova.
We mentioned that one, too.
When they beat Carolina in Houston. And that was just – Marcus Page's double-clutch three from in front of the Tar Heel bench got lost in the wash when Jenkins then hit the next shot.
Yes.
I would then throw – and I'm going to go back to Jordan – I would do the Jordan flu game jump shot.
Absolutely.
To win the game. Was that game six? That was game six, I think, right?
Yeah, that was game six. Yeah, a lot of people put that one on there.
Yeah, the one from Cleveland, though, is awesome. I mean, and Jim Durham's call is just insanely good. Mm. And so is Dick Stockton's on CBS that day, I think, too. So, but yeah, I would probably go that route. Is that five? That's five.
Yeah,
and
that's
I got
five.
Jordan in there twice. That's good. The ACC people will be happy. I got Laettner, Charles, and Jordan in twice, so I'm good. Yeah.
I love that. What was did your dad have a moment like my name's Joe Starkey. There's a Joe Starkey out in California.
I know the other Joe Starkey very well.
Yes, and of course his signature moment is the band is on the field. Did your dad have a moment like that, or a game or a call like that in North Carolina history? Was it the Jordan shot?
Yeah, the Jordan shot is close. The one thing, you know, he passed away 6 years ago, Joe, and he never claimed favorites out of reverence for the players and the coaches that he worked with at Chapel Hill for 40 years doing the games. But the Jordan jump shot, especially because they had lost the year before to Indiana and the Spectrum in Philadelphia in the finals.
Yeah.
I think the Jordan jump shot felt like a seminal moment, if you will, for Carolina basketball and Coach Smith to win the national title. Remember now in 93, the Chris Webber timeout call.
Oh my God.
They won 11 years later in the same building.
Wow.
And that game, I know that particular call he was proud of. And then he had a football call in 2004. Carolina knocked Miami out of the top five and probably the national championship race when they kicked the last-second field goal to beat the Canes in Chapel Hill. And he nailed the call. I mean, it's my dad and everything, but I would tell you if I was just from a professional standpoint, he nailed the call. So
that's
I knew
awesome.
He loved that from a football perspective. And you know, we're fortunate in this business, Joe. You like me, you spend a lot of time, you watch games, you listen to games. I mean, there's just some incredible artwork being done on radio and television these days. I thought Noah Eagle was tremendous in Paris, by the way. And I think that like Don Fisher, the voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, and Bill Hillgrove here in Pittsburgh, and guys like that who just set such a standard in our industry and the art form of doing games have really made it kind of special to be in this industry now at this time and place, for sure.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, Wes, and we'll be watching tonight your trip through Pittsburgh on ACC Network's ACC Football Road Trip Show. We really appreciate that. That was great.
Anytime, Joe. I'm happy to do it. Look forward to being back. And I'm sorry Zeiss couldn't be there today, but I'm sure he has a tee time somewhere that's a pressing issue for him. So
that's exactly what he has. He's at the Raceway, Indianapolis Raceway golf course thing. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, the Brickyard, the
yes.
golf club at Brickyard. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I knew if Zeiss wasn't on the show, he had to be playing golf because it's August. And he did our old Packer and Durham show more. He did, just so you know, he appeared more from parking lots of golf clubs on FaceTime doing our show than anybody else. So there you go.
You know him well. Thanks again, Wes.
Be well, Joe. Thank you.
That was fun, wasn't it, Limits?
Yeah, he's great. Like, I like watching him on the ACC Network and those post-game shows that they do all the time. And his calls at the Falcons games, I mean, just hearing it in his voice, I could literally hear Falcons highlight calls.
You must be fascinated with people like that because that's ultimately what you want to do, right? Or one career option?
I want to do this and try to also do play-by-play.
Yeah.
That's, you know, be multifaceted and multidimensional. So being able to listen to some of the things that he's saying and the way that he goes about his business. And obviously, everybody applauds Bill Hillgrove for the way that he goes about it with Pitt.
Oh, yes.
There are definitely some good mentors to be able to look up to and guys that you can take some notes from.
What's the greatest sports call of all time? Do you believe in miracles?
That's the first one that popped into my mind.
Is that the one?
That's the one that popped in my mind, yep. Al Michaels.
What right about away. The band is on the field?
The band is on the field is a good one. I think of, it wasn't a famous call, but I think of Lanny calling Bobby Knight throwing the chair on the floor, where he literally just said, and Bobby Knight has thrown a chair. And that's basically it, but the picture is what really tells the story.
Havlicek stole the ball. Chick Hearn, you got that one?
What about Bonino?
No. That one was great, but we're talking nationally legendary. Legendary stuff. Send it in, Jerome?
Send it in, Jerome. It's one of the best ones.
Would you agree with
that? Probably, is that the best Pittsburgh call? Like, happened in the city.
Might be. The Mazeroski call, right?
That's one that pops into my mind
but
as
I
well.
But I can't think of the exact phrasing of that call. That's the thing. That's the only thing.
Yeah, other than it was just a deep fly ball to left field and Mazeroski wins it for the Pirates in the World Series. That was really it.
It's got to be, do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
I'm looking up some ones here. You can feel free to drop the pawpaws.
Is that your second pawpaws?
I looked and... some of these I can't. The moment, it's one thing to say the moment, but it has to be the call. It has to be the call.
I always like Joe Buck's when David Freese hit the walk-off home run in Game 6 of the World Series. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Down goes Frazier.
Down goes Frazier. There you go. That one. And Havlicek stole the ball. And do you believe in miracles? Those are the ones. That's it.
And the band is on the field.
Yeah.
Send it in, Jerome, Bill Raftery.
Right.
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. The Ozzie Smith call from Jack Buck.
Oh, yes.
Oh, how about the... I'm doing the same thing as you. I looked it up. What about the call from Vin Scully when the ball got behind the bag through Buckner? Here comes Knight and the Mets win it.
Yeah. I was at Tim Hurley's house drunk for that. All right, Limits, let's get back to a little pirate talk at the top here. That really...
I didn't realize that when Joe Buck made that call, the home run in St. Louis, he was channeling and not copying, but I guess tributing his dad from the call that Jack Buck made in the World Series in Game 6 in 91 when Kirby Puckett hit the walk-off home run.
What about the Kirk Gibson call? Was that Vin Scully on that one, too?
That was Vin Scully.
What did he say? I can't remember. That's the problem.
I don't believe what I just saw.
There you go.
Or that was Jack Buck.
Wait, what was he talking
Scully
about?
Scully also called it.
I don't believe what I just saw? That was the Gibson home run?
Yeah, that was from Jack
Buck. That was
Buck.
Legendary. Very legendary.
One of the ones that is in here is the Sean McDonough call of 92. Touch them all, Joe. Joe Carter, 93 World Series.
No, that doesn't count. All right. people got hot earlier today with the Pirates. I want to ask you a series of questions about this team at 1 o'clock out there. From O'Neill Cruz's position to what are you going to do with Key Brian Hayes to listening back to Shelty, who claims this is more bad luck than bad baseball. If they wind up in last place, like I argued with Bob and Paul the other day, I said that Shelty and Cherington should go into next year on the hot seat if this continues with the Pirates. But man, if they wind up in last place, 10 games under or 15 games under, I almost don't see how you couldn't make a move. Let's talk about that. 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're obviously keeping tabs on the Aiyuk situation. It's just, my feeling is it's less optimistic, but that's sort of a gut feel. That's no hard and fast information. That's just reading what's out there. And the longer this goes on, and they seem to be so close, like it's not that far apart. And fan weather